Well, a couple of announcements to make this morning is Dean will be leaving to go to Tanzania on Thursday. And so we'll need to keep him in our prayers. He's trying to finish up a construction job on his house. He's got some tenants coming this week. And so he said this is the only day he can do it. So he's not here today, but I'm sure he'd love an encouraging text or some prayer coming his way. I don't know how long we'll be gone. Do you, Jack, in Tanzania? 10-day trip. So, and we have a Tanzania a native here, actually, with Miss Frankie, or with Nema. Her name is Lightness. What a name. Isn't that cool? And anyway, she's real sweet. I'm glad you're here. Let's see, what else? We need to pray for Cheryl Martin. She lost her sister. I don't know if Bill mentioned that last week. I don't know if it had happened already last week. But anyway, we just need to keep her in our prayers. I spoke to her yesterday, and she's still having a hard time with it. So, and she's also having some muscle issues, some muscle spasms or something. So let's encourage Cheryl. And I think some of the ladies have some dinners coming her way. And so thank y'all for doing that. But keep her in our prayers. We love Miss Cheryl, part of the family. So, and then Philip is going to Ghana, right? When are you going? In November. And Jack's going to Cambodia in October. We got people going all over the place. We need to keep all these guys in our prayers. Any other announcements that I don't know about? Yes.
It's not really just an announcement. It's a prayer request for one of the prisoners at First Salt Light. He has not been coming to the Wednesday night recently.
Oh, he got cancer?
He has cancer, and thankfully it is benign. Okay. So he has gone to the hospital.
I can imagine.
So just need to be praying for him. His name's Sean.
Sean. I met Sean when I was there.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll pray for Sean. Yeah. Could be much worse if you came to improve. Anything else? No. All righty. Well, let's pray real quick. Lord, we love you, and we do thank you so much for this day and the great opportunity to come together and be before you and in your midst. I thank you that you're here, that you want to be with us, you want to teach us, you want us to know you better. I pray that you tune our hearts to be able to listen and hear your words, Lord. You open our eyes and our ears to what you're trying to tell us to do and what you're trying to tell us about yourself and how to live. But Lord, we're just so thankful for you. I pray that you bless the message today. I pray that it'll find its mark and that you'll speak and it won't be just me, but Lord, it'll be you speaking through me. I lift up Sean to you now, Lord, while we're praying, and I ask you to bless him and heal his body. I think that the cancer is benign, Lord, but I know that he's probably feeling low and physically down. And so I pray for him, Lord. I ask you to heal his body, and I pray that you make him whole again, Lord, and that he'll get healthy and come back and see your presence. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I was out last week again. My son Wyatt got married, as you know, and we had a great wedding, and it was beautiful. It was perfect. Thankful for Mr. Murphy taking the message and the pulpit here last week. I heard he did a good job, so I got to listen to some of his messages. We got his message, by the way. We are recording these messages now. They'll be on the website. And so thanks to Sophie and Lynn Taylor for doing that for us. But anyway, so if you missed Bill's sermon, you can listen to it. It's on the website now. But yeah, we had a great time at the wedding. Bill officiated it for us, and thankful for everybody who helped us with that. There's so many people in this church that helped us get everything ready. T and Lynn were super helpful. Thank y'all for everything. And Jack and Emily and Misty and Philip, thank you so much for playing the music. And just had a great time. I was thinking about how thankful I am for this property and this building that we have here. So many amazing things in my life have been done in this place. And, you know, I don't know, for some reason I was thinking about it during the wedding that, you know, Bill and other leaders, you know, many years ago had the faith to try to purchase a piece of property, build a church. I've heard the story many times of Doyce Holland and Dean and then talking about setting these cinder blocks by hand out here and building this place. And to buy this beautiful, you know, pecan trees and this acreage out here. And I just had so many great encounters with God in this place. And I never knew when I was young that my own son would be out here getting married on the property. You know? So I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for the building of the property and then being able to still have it right now after all these years. So I just wanted to say that I'm thankful. Today I want to speak to you guys about hearing the voice of God, being able to hear the voice of God. How many of you know that God is always speaking? He likes to speak. He's constantly trying to communicate to us with his words. Well, the scripture says that in the beginning that he spoke creation into existence. He used words. He could have snapped his fingers, but he decided to use words. He's always trying to communicate with us. In John, it says, in the Gospel of John, it says that that Jesus came as the Word wrapped in flesh. So God is always speaking. He's always trying to find a way. All throughout the scriptures, the prophets, God would speak to the prophets and they would come and speak to us. He's just always trying to communicate with us. He spoke to a donkey one time. Do y'all know that story? He spoke to a donkey. But he's always trying to speak to us. His voice is always going out into the world. And the scripture says it never returns void. But he's just always trying to speak to us. And I think he loves to speak. And he has no problem speaking to us. The problem lies with us hearing the word of God. And there's many reasons for that. But it's a real problem. You know, it's funny because I've talked to so many Christians that said that they have never heard the voice of God, that they didn't think they had ever heard the voice of God. And I think that there's many reasons for this. Some reasons are that maybe they've heard it and they just didn't know it. Or sometimes, you know, a lot of times you get the word from the word, you know what I'm saying, from the scriptures. But, you know, it's a sad thing to me to think that people have said that they've walked with God for a long time and they've never heard his voice. They've never been led by his voice. And so we want to go over some of these things. I want to try to go over some scriptures that will help us to better hear the voice of God. Do you want to hear the voice of God? Do you hear it? Do you hear it daily? I think that that's one thing that we need to remember is that God wants to speak to us daily. It's not just a one-time thing. You don't want to go back and say, well, 15 years ago, God spoke to me. You want him to speak to you daily. I need him to speak to me daily. I need it in my practical life. I don't want to think about trying to live my life without being led by his voice. And like I said, this isn't some resounding
Brantley
verbal voice. Always. Although I feel like I have heard his voice in that way. But that's not too often. But it is being, his voice comes to me in the scriptures. It comes to me in creation. How many times have you got up in the morning and seen the sunrise and then like, he's speaking to me through this? Or if you're at the beach one day and you see the ocean and how beautiful it is and you say, that speaks of something. He's trying to speak to me in some way. But he can talk to you in many, many ways. I'll tell you that one of the most, besides the scripture, would be people. That I hear the voice of God in men and women speaking to me. I can't tell you how many times Lee has told me something that she just read, and I'll feel like God spoke that directly to me. So some of these things, you know, I think maybe when we're talking about hearing the voice of God, that we need to be clear that it's not always a verbal voice. It can be many different ways. He speaks to us in many different ways. But it's good to go over these things and to know how he's speaking with us. And you need to be able to say, yes, God speaks to me daily. You need to have that in your heart. You need to know that you're being led by his voice. If you don't, there's other voices out there. And they will lead you. You're listening and being led by something every day. And you don't want it to be any other voice but his. Most of the time it's probably yours, your own voice. That's what it is with me. I mean, if it's not God, it's usually just me saying this is what it needs to be. But you can be led astray quickly when you're not being led. But I want to hear him. I want to hear his voice loud and clear. Let's turn to John 10, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 1 through 30. And hear what Christ has to say here. So, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said it again. He said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. What a great scripture. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock, scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I lost my place here. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen, and I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it back up again. Listen to this. He says, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to pick it back up again. This command I received from my Father. He said, at these words, the Jews again were divided. Many of them said, he's a demon-possessed. He's raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you didn't believe me. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. Isn't that good? It's a lot in there. Well, I want to go over a couple of points in this scripture. Obviously, he's talking about his voice a lot in there. The first point I want to make is that he is speaking. That's what I've been saying already, I know, but just to reaffirm it in the scripture, he's saying, you hear my voice and you follow. My sheep hear my voice and they follow, which presupposes that he's speaking. And he's trying to tell you something about where to go and how to get there. So the first point is simply that God is speaking. The scripture says in verse 2, he calls his own sheep and he calls them by name. So it's not a general thing. He knows you by name and he's calling your name. You should hear that. You should hear his voice calling you by name. T. Jack, I'm calling you. I want to lead you today. Follow me. He's speaking all the time. That's point one. Point two is that in four different occasions in the scripture, it says that the sheep were listening. And so in order to hear his voice, you got to be listening. You have to be listening. We must train ourselves to not only speak to God, but to listen to him. This is the challenge. It's easy to speak. It's easy to speak to God and tell him everything you want. You've heard me say this from the pulpit up here many times. But in prayer, so often, my prayers are like this. I'll read the Bible. I'll sit down and pray, and I'll say, oh, Lord, bless my wife and help her with whatever she's dealing with that day. Bless my sons, Wyatt, Luke, and Jack. Bless their girlfriends, whatever, their lives, you know. And I ask to be blessed. Then maybe I'll move on to my business or my brothers or whatever, and I'll do all that. And then I just close that Bible and get up and go to work. And I leave no room for him to speak back to me. And it proves that I really don't believe that he wants to interact with me. I mean, I hate to say that about myself. I'm being vulnerable, but I'm being honest with you. Is that just if I do that all the time, then I'm just thinking that this guy, this God, does not want to speak to me. How many of you do that? Is anybody brave enough to say that you do that here? Yeah, thank you. See, I do it too. It's quick and it's ugly. And you think about it, if your sons did that to you or your daughters, hey, how you doing? Put some gas in my car, pay for my tuition. Oh, by the way, I need to get some lunch today. See you later. Can you imagine? I mean, you'd be like, what in the world? You know what I'm saying? And I've experienced a little bit of that before. I mean, I think all children, you know, do that sometimes actually, where they're just like, I need this, and I'll see you later. And you know what? I give it to them anyway. I give it to them anyway, but they don't get the best of me, do they? The best of me are the ones that want to sit down and say, Dad, tell me how your day went. What are you up to? What are we doing next week? That they care. They care enough about what I'm going through also in order to want to talk. I feel like that's such a great analogy for God. In the same way, I think that God wants us to say, Lord, tell me what you're doing. What are you up to? What do you want me to do in my life today? Not what I want from you, but what do you want from me? We're so busy. We're so busy, 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 busy. Everything is such a rush. We think we're doing such great things by giving God 10 minutes in the morning. When we owe him our very lives. I mean, if you look at what he just said about his love for us and the time spent on us, where he says, I shepherd my sheep all the time. I lay my life down for these sheep, which, by the way, we don't achieve. I love him like that. And to give him 10 minutes in the morning is pathetic, really. We have to train ourselves to listen and to let him respond to us. If you don't have time, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be in some stationary place with a Bible in hand to hear from God. Just tune your ear to hear. Be waiting and listening as you drive to work in the morning. Listen for them. Listen for them in people when they're talking to you. Yeah, sometimes it's the most unlikely sources, too. It might be a customer. It could be a child. You could be on the radio. It could be whatever. Does anybody listen to the radio anymore? Could be on your iPod or whatever. But God can speak through anything and everywhere. The Bible says that all of creation speaks his name. He says the sun comes up and goes down, the clouds, everything speaking, the night, the moon, everything is constantly speaking about who he is. And if you listen closely, you might find what he wants from you. That very day. So tune your hearts. We have to listen. His sheep, he said, my sheep listen to me.
And he says, what I do when they listen is, he says, they hear my voice and I lead them out into green pastures. What a reward just for tuning your ear to hear that you get to go in green pastures. Rest and peace when you hear his voice. So we must learn to listen. Point number three is, he says in verse, verse 5, he says, well, we'll go back to 4. He says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will turn and run from him because they don't recognize this stranger's voice. Later on, he talks again about the hired hand and how they don't follow his voice either. Point being is that there's other voices that are calling your name. They know you by name also. And they call your name. Stranger's voice is always trying to get you to pull away from the way that God wants you to go. It's taking you down into a pit. And we don't even know it. Just like sheep. Sheep are so dumb, they'll just walk up on the edge of a cliff and they'll just walk right off. They don't know any better. And that's what we are. It's important. It's important to know his voice and to be able to signify the difference between God's voice and a stranger's voice. And it's such a great, again, wordage here. He says, not only do they not follow him, but what do? Run. It's okay to run in this situation. You want to run the other way when you hear that voice. We all know this voice. We all know this voice. It's probably all gotten us in a bunch of trouble before. When we hear that voice and we say, I know it's not God, but I'm going anyway, gets us in trouble. But you need to be able to identify the difference between God's voice and your voice, the world's voice, the culture's voice. There's a lot of voices, a lot of strangers' voices out there. But there's only one God. And he said, my sheep know the sound of my voice. I think about this with my kids all the time. They know the sound of my voice. I know they do. They can be out with a big group of boys playing, and I can say, Luke! And he'll turn around knowing it's me. He knows my voice. I know theirs. I know their voices. But there's plenty of other voices that want to take you to a bad place. And you don't need to follow them. And in fact, you need to run from them. Amen? Another point is, well, it's really in the same point, is the hired hand. I thought this was interesting. He goes into great detail about this. He says, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. I didn't completely understand that because he already has gone to the stranger who's here to kill, steal, and destroy, he says. Then he goes into the hired hand. That's a different thing. And I thought it was interesting. And the only thing I could think of is basically that the hired hand is probably a voice that is not necessarily just trying to hurt you, but he's just not God. That would be somebody like me. You know, I mean, there's a huge difference. Or maybe somebody that you love that is leading you or his voice, and they're not trying to hurt you, but it's still not God. I got an example of this when I was young and I was trying out for the fire department. I had gone through EMT school, and this is pre me doing heating and air, and I was trying to become a fireman. And y'all heard me probably tell the story, but anyway, long story long here, I've been working for it. I spent about a year getting ready for it, got my EMT license, went back for the tryouts, and I found out that they weren't even going to let me try out. They had already hired somebody. And I had about a year invested in that, and that was kind of like my hope. I mean, I felt like God had given me that. And that was what I was going to do for my whole life. And we had little children, and, you know, and when I saw that, they only hire once a year. So I knew that I was like, I can't keep doing this for another whole year. I had a wife and kids. And I was really down because I just thought my whole life dreams had just been kind of dashed. And I remember the first thing I did was I came to this building looking for Bill, wanting some encouragement. And it was the middle of the day. What happened was that I went to go talk to the fire chief, and on the way I passed McKee Park, and that's where they do all their tryouts, all their runs and pull-ups and all the stuff they had to do. And I saw the guys trying out, and my heart just sunk because I meant that they didn't call me. And I called the fire chief, and he said, "Yeah, I'm sorry, man. There's a lot of politics in this. I couldn't use you." So I came straight up here. Bill wasn't here. And I called him on the phone. I said, "I really need to meet with you, man. I'm loaded. I'm feeling really bad." And he said, "Bradley, I'm sorry." He said, "I'm in whatever." And he was busy doing something that was very important. He said, "I can't meet you right now. I can meet you tomorrow. I can't meet you today." So I was in the parking lot, and I was mad and low, and I was like, "Fine," you know, and hung up. And then I walked into church because I saw Brother Jerry's car here, and I was like, "Okay, we'll go with Jerry. He'll encourage me." And I walked in the door, and I peeked around the corner, and Jerry was leaning back in his recliner in that office bed, just snoring. And I just, for whatever reason, I just couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't wake him up in my state, you know, and I was like, he's going to take him 10 minutes just to wake up before he can even encourage me. And I left there, and I was really low. And I just felt like everything had been dashed. Nobody was with me. Nobody was going to be able to encourage me. And I remember, what I did was I pulled my car out before I left, and said, "I'm just going to go walk down here by this picnic table." And I walked down there, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, "Am I not enough? Am I not enough for you?" And it just slapped me across the face. "You didn't even think to come to me?" And so I was able to sit in his presence. And he was more than enough. So it was good. And y'all know my love for Pastor Murphy and Jerry. You know how much I love them. But as good as they are, they're not him. And he was wanting to be with me alone in that moment. I think sometimes God reserved those moments for himself. And now, you know, instead of me getting all upset with them and feeling like they weren't there for me, he showed me that I needed to find a way to come to him first. And from that point on, I always go to him first. Doesn't mean that I can't be encouraged by people. I know I can. They do it every day for me. But there's only one God. And the hired hands aren't going to be able to do what he can do. Amen? Does that make sense? They will accidentally lead you astray sometimes. So, all I'm saying is we must go to him first, and everything must run through the scriptures through him. So run from the hired hand, from the stranger's voice, I'm sorry. Points so far, and we're almost done here, that God is speaking always. He's wanting to lead us into green pastures. Two, we have to learn and train ourselves to listen and give the time to him. To be able to hear his voice and not just tell him our requests, but be able to let him tell us his requests. Three, that there's many voices but only one God. And we have to learn to identify and to wade through all of that stuff and be able to get to the one voice that can truly lead us into peace. Following his voice every day will change your life forever. It will change our lives forever. The last thing I want to say is we must not only listen to his voice, but we must follow it. That's another last thing, is that you can go through the steps here, but you can't just stop at just listening. You have to then act upon it and do what he tells you to do. The reward for that, Jesus says in verse 27, he says, "My sheep listen to my voice." Now listen to this. When you hear his voice, this is what happened. He says, "Then I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will ever snatch them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." So that's the reward for listening and following his voice. If you haven't ever heard God's voice, I want to encourage you to go home immediately and get alone with him and just listen for a minute and ask Him to speak to you. Amen? Ask Him to speak to you. A good rule of thumb just to remember is that every voice you hear, whether if you're trying to identify is this God or not, it has to run through the Scriptures. It's very, very important. I can't tell you how many people said, well, God told me to divorce my wife. You know, and you're like, that doesn't add up right here. So you know, that's how one way you can identify. It's the only way, is it has to run through the Scriptures. Everything that you hear is not God. But we have to be able to hear His voice on a daily basis so that we can be led and we can accomplish everything that He's called us to do. But the reward is also for you. It's eternal life. It's peace. It's clarity. Gosh, I want that so bad. I want that every day so bad. Just to know that you're being led by God. What a rich, rich reward to know that you're following Him that morning and that day. That's why it's really good to do in the morning, so you can have it all day long. But please join me in taking the time to listen and to hear His voice. Amen. Why don't y'all stand and I'll pray for you and we'll dismiss. Lord, I thank You that You do love to speak and You love to lead us. Lord, it's Your great desire, just like You said in this Scripture, Lord, that Your sheep hear Your voice, that You're the good shepherd, Lord. You say that over and over again in the Scriptures. You want us to know that You're the good shepherd, that You're the one that will lead us into real life, into real peace, into real joy. You want us to know that today, Lord. You said it so many times. I pray, Father, that You'll let us find You worthy to give You the time to hear Your voice and to follow Your ways, to cut out the, you know, shorts that we're watching on YouTube, Lord, and give You the time instead, knowing that it will bring us real life. You said it will bring us eternal life. And that's what we're looking for, Lord. That's what we need, and that's what You want to give us. I pray that You speak to everybody in this room, Lord, this week, including myself, Lord, and that we'll not only hear You, but follow You. Bless Your people, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank You, guys. You're dismissed.